Today's daf is Moed Katan Daf Beis, and we are Be'ezus Hashem in the beginning of a new Mesechta, Meseches Moed Katan. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refua Shalema for Shlomo Ben Zara Aliza, Avadia Ben Miriam Leia, Moshe Abba Ben Devora, Devora Bas Mecha, Shmu Ben Tehila, Avram Ben Gittel Edel, Sarah Nechama Bas Rus Malka, Refalka Has Ben Fega, Baruch Ben Rachel, Chaya Malka Bas Batsheva, Chanatova Bas Sora Risha, Meira Chava Bas Shoshana, and Devora Ita Bas Kela Bracha. Today's daf is also being learned. Le'ilui Nishmas Doiv Berel Ben Rabbi Yaakov David, Shloima Ephraim Ben Aaron, Henzel Aryeh Ben Shalom, and Avram Yitzchak Ben Yechiel Mechel. So, Mesechtes Moed Katan is really a tale of two sugyas. The first two prakim, which makes up approximately the first half of the Mesechta, deals with the halachos of Chol HaMoed. The second half of the Mesechta, the third perek, perek Elu Megalchin, deals with a completely different topic. It deals with Hilchis Aveilos. So we are going to obviously begin discussing the laws of Chol HaMoed, and as such, it requires a tiny bit of an introduction. And really, instead of a complicated introduction, we'll just mention one siman in Shulchan Aruch. The siman is the first siman in Hilchis Chol HaMoed. It's siman Tof Kuf Lamed Uboy Seif Echad. So it's one sif in Shulchan Aruch, one line in Shulchan Aruch. Mechaber says, Chol HaMoed Aser biktsas melachos umuter bimiktasam. On Chol HaMoed, one is not allowed to do certain melachos. However, one is allowed to do other melachos. Says the Rama, lefi tzoirech ha'inyan shehaya nira lechachamim lahater. And really, which melachos can one do and which melachos can one not do? The chachamim, they used their infinite wisdom and they came up with certain rules and regulations that determine and govern what kinds of malachos one is allowed to do on Chol HaMoed and what kinds of malachos one is not allowed to do with Chol HaMoed. The truth is, we could have really began by introducing what Chol HaMoed is. We know what it is. Pesach, Midday Raisa, is 7 days. The first day is a regular day Yontif. The seventh day is a regular day Yontif. Days two through six are what we know as Chol HaMoed. Yontif on the one hand, but Chol on the other hand. Hence the name Chol HaMoed, which really is an oxymoron. Chol means it's a weekday, Moed means it's a Yontif, and really these days are a combination of both Chol and Moed. Sukkot is a little bit different. Sukkot is made up of 7 days, but there's an eighth day, Shmini Atzeres. And the first day of Sukkot is Yontif. The eighth day of Shmini Atzeres is also Yontif. And then days two through seven are also these days of quasi-Yontif, Chol HaMoed. On the one hand, it's Chol. On the other hand, it's Moed. So the Shulchan Aruch says that what's the halachis of Chol HaMoed? The halacha is one line. On Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to do some malachis, you're not allowed to do other malachis, which is really very matim with the name Chol HaMoed. On the one hand, it's Chol, you're allowed to do certain malachis. On the other hand, it's Moed. There are malachis that you're not allowed to do. Now, the Gemara in today's daf is going to jump knee-deep into these halachis. So let's just mention the first Mishnah Brewer in Siman Tov Kuf Lamed, just to get a little bit of a backdrop, a little bit of a context of what exactly this means. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Mulachos hamutaris b'Chol HaMoed heim chamisha. If you do the math, you tally them up, it comes out there are five mulachos that one is allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. Number one, Dover ha'aved em lo yasenu ata. If there's a mulacha, that's a Dover ha'aved. Meaning, if you don't do the mulacha now, you're going to end up losing money. Not you're going to not make profits, but you're physically going to lose something. V'tzorchei ha'moed. Additionally, you're doing a malacha, but the reason you're doing it is l'tzoyrei chamoed. It's something that's necessary for Yontif. U'bishvil poyol she'ein loy ma yoichal. Or there's a poyol who literally lives day to day, and he needs to go to work. So like this, he's going to have food. V'tzorchei rabim. Or the malacha is something that's nogeya the rabim. And finally, u'maisa hedyet afilu l'yachet. If the malacha that's being done is a maisa hedyet. And the Mishnah Berurah says, v'yispar kalecha b'kaymoy. That we don't have to go through in detail what all five of these things mean, because really, each one b'mkoymoy is going to be explained. Says the Mishnah Berurah, v'hine pe'ikr isa malachas Chol HaMoed, as it relates to the ikr to do malacha on Chol HaMoed, yesh deyes ben harishayinim. There's a big machloikas rishayinim. Yesh shesayivim, there are those that hold, shuhumi divrei soifrim. It's an isa derabanan. Mipnei shematzinu betayra shenikru mikra kodesh. You find that even Chol HaMoed is referred to in the Torah as Mikra Kodesh. You were able to bring the carbon chagiga, the yantif, the carbon on HaMoed. Lefichach asrim basiyas malacha, kidei shalayia kishar yamois hachol she'em behem b'kdusha klal. So there are some that hold that the whole issue is an issue of the Rabbanan, stating that mikamakim lechmiru by kiyantif mamish veikilu b'chamish edvar manal. However, the Chachamim didn't want to be machmir, and therefore they instituted five kulos, the five kulos that the Mishnah Berurah begins with. V'harbi poiskim soifrim, but says the Mishnah Berurah, there are many poiskim that hold the humina taira, that really the iser to do malacha chol hamoed is an iser dahi raisa. And this that you find kulas with regards to many halachas, who it's based on a Gemara and Chagiga, where the Gemara says the Chachamim were given a heter, they were given the rights to go ahead to be matter certain malachas. But the bottom line is, there's an iser to do malacha on Chol HaMoed, just like there's an iser to do malacha on Shabbos, and just like there's an iser to do malacha on Yontif. The reason we don't perceive it as being as chamor is because, although there's an iser, but there are five oifanim of when it's mutter to do malacha, stating that, as it relates to the Ikar Isser, major Machloikis Rishonim, one of the biggest Machloikis Rishonims, literally in Shas, whether the Isser to do Malacha, when applicable on Chol HaMoed, is an Isser Deiraisa, or whether all it is an Isser Derabbanan. Then the Mishnah Berurah says, Uma'oid Yesh Lizar Shaloi Lahakal Yoisem Imashay Tiru Chachamim. A person should be very careful and not be more makel on Chol HaMoed than Chazal allowed one to be makel. To Amru Chazal, Hamavazes Hamayados Ki'ilu Oived Avoidas Zara. Someone's mevazeh the mayadis, it's as if he was oved avodah zarah. So therefore, a person has to be very careful, specifically related not to doing malachas that he's not supposed to do on Chol HaMoed. Mishbur continues, gam chayev lechabit Chol HaMoed b'maychel b'mishta. A person has to honor Chol HaMoed with eating good foods and drinking fine wines, uksus nikia, and wear nice clothing. Shelo yinek behem minek chol. Umaril, he says, the maril used to wear a Shabbos clothing on Chol HaMoed. Mishbur continues and says, ayin le'il simin tov chavtes. Look at what I wrote 100 simanim earlier. Ube Mishnah Berurah sham the mitzvah v'samachta b'chagecha koi gam al Chol HaMoed. That the mitzvah v'samachta b'chagecha applies to Chol HaMoed. So whatever v'samachta b'chagecha means, it applies to Chol HaMoed as well. And then he says that even though it's true you don't have to eat a sud on Chol HaMoed, but at the same time the katchila mitzvah l'kvay a sud al hapas, you should be kavei a sud al hapas achas balaylo the achas bayoim the kiven the mitzvah l'chabdei v'achilu v'shtiyo. And therefore it'd be appropriate to eat a suda. So the bottom line is that really when you delve in, you literally dip your toes into the laws of Chol HaMoed, it's kishmoy kachi. Chol HaMoed is chol and it's moyed. And really the halachas feel that way. There's an issa to do malacha, but at the same time, there are five categories of malachas that one is allowed to do. L'katchila, there's a mitzvah of v'samachta b'chagecha and to eat suda, but then again, b'di'evet, you don't really have to eat a suda. So on the one hand, it's chol, on the other hand, it's moed. We have two prakim and shas that deal with the halachas of Chol HaMoed. Be'ezus Hashem, a lot of raid, including at the end of today's daf, that deal with both the halachos and the lamdas and the pnimius of what Chol HaMoed is. And on that note, we begin the first Mishnah. So the first Mishnah is going to discuss melachos that one is and is not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed, and it's going to discuss it in the context of a farmer. So once upon a time, most people, even Jews, earned a living on a farm. And as a result, these halachos and these mishnayos that we're about to learn, even though they seem very foreign to us, but these were halachos that were very, very much halacha l'maaseh. And the Mishnah is going to begin discussing whether one is allowed to water a field on Chol HaMoed, or whether one is not allowed to water a field on Chol HaMoed. To water a field involves melachos, yizereya, maybe yichayresh, the Gemara is going to discuss that on Amid Beis. But for sure, to water a field involves melacha, and the Mishnah now is going to discuss, may one water a field on Chol HaMoed? May one not? And in the event you can you do it in any which way that you would like, or does it have to be done dafka in a certain way? Says the Mishnah, mashkin beis hashlachin amoyed. You're allowed to water a beis hashlachin amoyed. So what's a beis hashlachin? Very important definition. Rashi says a beis hashlachin is a field that relies on irrigation in order for it to survive. Meaning, rainwater in and of itself will not be able to sustain this field. based on where it's located geographically. Rashi says it's on top of a mountain. But whatever the Metzius is, the point is you need to manually and physically water this field. Because if you're not going to water this field is going to end up drying and you're going to end up losing everything that's on the field. So says the Mishnah, Mashkin Beis Hashlachim V'mot. You're allowed to water a field, but not every field, only a Beis Hashlachim, a field that relies on irrigation, ubeshvias. Not just only are you allowed to do this on Chol HaMoed, but you're allowed to do this on Shemitah as well. Now, why would you think you're not allowed to do it on Shemitah? Because on Shemitah, you're not allowed to work the fields. If you're not allowed to work the fields, then you would think that maybe you can't do this on Shemitah. So it says the Mishnah, there are two times a year where you would have thought maybe this should be prohibited. It's okay. Number one, Chol HaMoed. Number two, on Shemitah. Says the Mishnah, and when we say that you're allowed to water this Beis HaShlachim, Beimi Mayin Sheyatzeh B'Tchilo, you're allowed to do it whether you're using a stream or a spring that was Yatzeh B'Tchilo, that's freshly minted, or Beimi Mayin Shelo Yatzeh B'Tchilo, or you're using a spring that's been around for a long time. Meaning it doesn't matter if the spring that you're going to use to water the field is a newly fashion spring, or whether this spring has been here for a while. The Gemara is going to explain what the difference between these two springs are and why you would think that maybe one, yeah, and one not. But regardless, this is okay, says the Mishnah. However, aval ei mashkin, you're not allowed to water a beis hashlachim, lo me'ak shalmim, not using rainwater, v'lo me'ak kilo, you're also not allowed to use water from a well. So let's just stop for 1 second, because really these few lines are going to be the topic of the entire da. So essentially what the Mishnah just said is, if you want to water a field on Chol HaMoed, a few things. Number one, beis hashlachim. It has to be a field that you need to water, that rainwater in of itself will not be able to take care of. That type of field, you're allowed to water. Not just that, even when you're going to water the field, you can't just water it in any way you want, but rather it has to be done in a certain way. The Mishnah says you're allowed to use a mayon. You're allowed to take a spring. So what does that mean? So there's a spring that's flowing and you're diverting the water in a way so that the water is now going to go to the field and it's going to take care of the field. That's okay. And it's okay whether it's a mayim sheyatzeh b'tchilo or it's a mayim shelo yatzeh b'tchilo. The Mishnah then says that if you want to water even a beis hashlachin using make shamim, or if you want to do it using make kilayin, that will not be okay. Additionally, you're not allowed to make ditches around the grapevine. Rabbi Loz ben Azari says, you're not allowed to create an irrigation canal. So that's the canal that's in the ground that will, the water is going to flow through to get onto the field. You can't fashion the actual canal on Chol HaMoed. Ubeshvias, you can't do it on Shemitah either. The Chachamim say, Oisin Asa'am B'tchil Ubeshvias. We agree with you, Rabbi Lazar and Azari, this is not something you're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed, but if you want to do it on Shemitah, that's okay. Umesaknin Asa'am Kulkelas B'moed. In the event that you have one of these canals that's gone bad and you're not creating it, you're just fixing it, that's something everyone holds you are allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. Umesaknin Es Kulkulia Mayim Shebeshusa Rabim. So these were these big cisterns that were in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, that the Ivrei Drachim, the people that were traveling, they would stop and drink from, give their animals to drink. So the halach is you're allowed to be masaking them, you're allowed to fix them on Chol HaMoed. V'chaitet and oisim, you're allowed to clean them. U'masakten es hadrachim v'arsarachayvitz, you're allowed to fix the roads and the paths. V'as mikvah samayim, if there's a mikvah that needs to be fixed, you can fix it on Chol HaMoed. V'oisim kol tzarchei harabim, you're allowed to do all tzarchei rabbim, meaning any malacha that involves the rabbim is something you're allowed to do. U'metzainin es akfaris, you're also allowed to put matzevas up where there are kfaris, like this Kehanim, I'm going to know to stay away. Additionally, you're allowed to go out on Chol HaMoed to root out kalayim from the ground, even though this is something that involves malacha. So again, the Gemara is going to discuss the first three lines of the Mishnah. So let's again just chazer over the first three lines. The Mishnah said, you're allowed to water a field on Chol HaMoed, but not every field. Number one, only a beis hashlachin, only a field that relies on you watering it in order for it to survive. Not just that, even when you water it, you have to be sensitive to how you're doing it. You could do it by diverting a spring in its direction, and it doesn't matter if it's a new spring or an old spring, but what you can't do is, you can't use rainwater, you also can't take a pail, go to a well, and water it that way. So what's the yisoid? What's the principle underlying this Mishnah? It's two halachas. The first halacha that's underlying this Mishnah is that you're allowed to do malacha on Chol HaMoed, but only if it's a davar ha'aved. Only if you don't do the malacha, you're going to end up having a hefzid. You're going to end up losing something. To not water a beis hashlachim is going to eventually cost you. Because if you don't water it, it's not going to happen on its own. Because it needs you to intervene. It's considered to be a davar of it. To do malacha on Chol HaMoed, when it's a davar of it, is something that's mutter. But here's part two. And that is, that even when Chazal allowed you to do a malacha when it's a davar of it on Chol HaMoed, the only time they allowed you to do it is if it doesn't involve a tirchi yaseira. It doesn't involve too much work. If, however, it's going to involve an excessive amount of work, then even if it's a davar aved, you're not going to be allowed to do it. And that's why the Mishnah says that even though you're allowed to be mashke beis hashlachin, however, you have to do it in a way that doesn't involve too much tircha. So to take a spring and to channel it in the direction of the beis hashlachin, that's mutter. However, to take make shamim and make kiloin, that already involves excessive tircha, and as a result, that's something that's going to be aser. Zok de gemar. Hashta yeshlomi mimayin sheyatza betchil. The Mishnah said that you're allowed to be mashke beis hashlacha. And the Mishnah said you could only do it using a mayon. And then the Mishnah said it doesn't matter if the mayon was yatza betchila, it's a newly minted mayon, or if it was la yatza betchila. So the Gemara says, I don't understand why the Mishnah had to say mayon that was yatza betchila and mayon that was la yatza betchila. And the Gemara asks it as a kasha. Madach a mayon sheyatza betchila, the asilin pule, where there's a concern that maybe as the water is going through this mayon, being that it's a new spring, there's a concern that the walls may cave in. And what happens if the walls cave in? You're probably going to want to fix it. Fixing those walls is going to involve tirchi yaseir, which means it's going to involve doing a malacha that you're not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. So really, it's a chiddush that you're allowed to use a mayon sheyatza betchila. Not because you're watering the field, and not because right now there's a tircha, but because of what might happen. What might happen is the walls will cave in, and that will cause you to end up engaging in a tircha yaseir. But the Mishnah says it's fine. So the Gemara asks that madoch, you're allowed to water a beis hashlochen from a mayon sheyatza betchila, despite the fact there's a good reason to argue you shouldn't. Why? The asnilin pule, still it's okay. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, mi mayin shalayatza betchila, a mayin that was layatza betchila, the layasilin pule, where there's no concern that it may be asnilin pule. There's no chashash that the walls are going to cave in. This mayin's been running for years. So why all of a sudden would you assume that something's going to happen, mi vaya? So, dude, does the Mishnah need to tell me that you're allowed to do it? So in other words, the Gemara's kasha is, that why did the Mishnah have to say both mayin sheyatza betchila and mayin shelo yatza betchila? Let the Mishnah say you could be mashka from a mayin sheyatza betchila, and if you can use a mayin sheyatza betchila, kal v'chaymer, I would know you could also use a mayin shelo yatza betchila. As I freak the Gemara, and the Gemara answers, Amri, it's terech. No, the reason the Mishnah said both was because iton a mayin sheyatza betchila. Had the Mishnah only said mayin sheyatza betchila, hava mina, I would have thought hacha hu debeis hashalchin and beis abaloi. Had the Mishnah only been talking about a mayin sheyatza betchila and relied on the fact that we would know on our own that if you could be mashka with a mayin sheyatza betchila, you could certainly be mashka with a mayin shelo yatza betchila. It's true, you would know that. But you know where you would make this mistake? Because really, in the Mishnah, there's a very glaring diak, a diak that we sort of implied several times. And that is, you could only be mashka a base hashlachen. You could only be mashka a field that relies on irrigation on Chol HaMoed. However, a base habal, and a base habal is a field that relies wholly on rainwater. That type of field, it's implied from the Mishnah, you can't be mashka. But if the Mishnah would have only been talking about a mayin sheyatza betchila, so you would have thought that the only time you can't water a beis habal is when it's a mayin sheyatza betchila. And maybe it's mishum da asilin pule. Because of an asilin pule, so we're not going to allow you to now go be mashka beis habal. Beis habal doesn't really need you, so it's a mayin sheyatza betchila, where there's a concern that maybe something's going to happen. So here now, I have a mayin sheyatza betchila, but if you have a mayin that was la yatza betchila, the loyal Asilin Pule, where there's no concern that's Asilin Pule, aim after the base of Al Nami. I would have thought that maybe you could even be Mashka base Abal. Kamashmal, and that's why the Mishnah made it very, very clear. The Mishnah went out of its way to cross its T's and dot its I's, proverbially. And it said as follows: Loishna Mayan Shiyatza Betchila, Loishna Mayan Shalayatza Betchila. Beis Hashlochen in Beis Habaloi. The Mishnah wanted to make it clear you're only allowed to be Mashka Beis Hashlochen. You can't be Mashka Beis Habal. And therefore, Lahoitzi Mi Libon, to make it so super clear, the Mishnah said it doesn't matter if it's a Mayan Sheyatza Betchila or if it's a Mayan Shalayatza Betchila. What do you mean? I know if it's a Mayan Shalayatza Betchila. Yeah, but I want you to know that even a Mayan Shalayatza Betchila, only a Beis Hashlochen, as opposed to a Beis Habal. And that's why the Mishnah made it clear that in all scenarios, it's only a Beis Hashlochen, as opposed to a Beis Habal. So the Gemara is just going to come up for breath for a few moments, and that is, we just described two types of fields. One field is a beis hashlochen, the other is a beis habal. What's a beis hashlochen? A beis hashlochen is a field that relies on irrigation, meaning it cannot sustain itself solely based on rainwater. A beis habal is a field that does rely
solely on rainwater. So the Gemara says, "Umay mashma the high base hashlochim lishna ditzechusehi." The Gemara is assuming that the word shlochim comes from the shayrish thirsty. So this field that's a base hashlochim is a thirsty field, meaning it rains, but it doesn't get what it needs from the rain. So what's the makar that base hashlochim means that? Says the Gemara, "Dichsev." It's a pasuk. It says, "Va'ata oyef v'yogeya v'lo yorei elokim." Where does it say that? By Amalek. Definitely a connection between the end of Masechtas Megillah and the beginning of Masechtas Ma'akatim. But it says that Amalek attacked the Jews when they were the most vulnerable, when they were Oyev Yogei. If you look at the Targum on the word Oyev, it says V'at Mishali V'loi. Mishali is Shlochim. Frank Rashi, no it's not. Mishali is Mem Shin Lamed He Yud. Shlochim doesn't have a He, it has a Ches. Says Rashi, V'He Mishalev B'Ches. He and Ches sometimes interchange, and as a result, Va'at Mishali is like saying Va'at Mishalchi. So that's why Beis HaShlochin, it's called the Beis HaShlochin, it's Miloshin Oyev, it's a thirsty field. My Mashman Hai Beis Abal Lishin Demiyas Fusahi. What's the Makar? How do you know that the word Beis Abal means it's a satiated field? Meaning this is a field that's satisfied, it has what it needs. The Chsiv, the Pasuk says, Ki Yival Bachur Besula, Loshin Bi'ila, Umetargamina Narekama Demitoisev. But the point is, you see that the word Baal means the mitesuf, and that's why a field that is satisfied, that has what it needs simply from the rain, is going to be considered a base habal. So returning to our Mishnah. And we said the Mishnah said two chidushim, two principles in halacha that are poshut 101 in terms of understanding Hilchas Chalamayit, the Isser Melacha Chalamayit. Number one, you're allowed to do malacha if it's a davar ha'aveh. If there's a question of hefsid, then you're allowed to do malacha. Where do you see that? Because the Mishnah said, mashkin beis hashlochin. And the Mishnah said, only a beis hashlochin. You can't be mashka a beis habal. Why? Beis hashlochin is a davar ha'aveh. You're going to lose out. You have to water it. There's no other way it's going to get watered if you don't do it. Beis habal is not a davar ha'aveh. And by the way, even though if you're not mashka a beis habal, you may lose profits, right? Because it may be in your interest to water it on your own, but for that you can't do malach. You can only do malach if there's going to be a tangible hefsid. You're going to actually lose something. That's the first chiddush you see in the Mishnah. The second chiddush we saw in the Mishnah was that even when you're doing malacha, because of davar aved, you can only do malacha if it doesn't involve a tircha yaseira. It doesn't involve an excessive tircha. But you can, if it involves tircha yaseira, that's not okay. Would you see that from the Mishnah? Because the Mishnah said that even when you're allowed to be mashke beis hashlochin, it's only from a mayan. Yeah, mayan sheyatzah betchila even, but it's only from a mayan. But if you want to be mashke from make shamim, or if you want to be mashke from make kiloin, you want to use rainwater, you want to take water from a well, that's not something you're allowed to do. Why not? You're doing a beis hashlochin, it's a davar ave. The teretz is because it's just too much tircha. A little bit of tircha will allow you, but too much tircha, that already you're not allowed to do. So again, there's two chidushim in our Mishnah, says the Gemara. Man Tana, who's the Tana of our Mishnah? Who holds? Number one, the Pseid in Arach Eloi. That this, that you're allowed to do Malacha, that's only if it's a Dover or Ovid, there's a tangible loss that you're going to sustain. But to do Malacha so that you will not lose out on profits, that's not something you're allowed to do. Number one. And number two, Vafilibu Malkam Seida. And the Tana Mishnah clearly also holds that even when there's a Pseid, Mitrach Nami Loitachinon, in Allah be Matrich. So who's the Tana that holds of these two Chedushim? Number one, you're allowed to do Malach of Dover Aved, but only if it's a real tangible loss, not if you're going to lose profits. And number two, even when there's a Hefsid, you're only allowed to do it if it doesn't involve Tirchi Yaseira. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna said, I know which Tana it is. Meaning, even though in our Mishnah it's the anonymous Tana, right? There's no name but given to the Tana of our Mishnah. But Rav Huna said, I know who the Tana is. It's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. It's the Tana Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. The Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov said, Moichchen es hamayim mi'ilon le'ilon. You're allowed to cause, divert water in a field from one tree to another tree. Now Rashi says, we're talking about a beis habal. Stay habal, we're talking about a field that relies on rainwater. This is not a base hashlochin. But he said, did Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, that you're allowed to cause water to go from one tree to another tree. Ubilvad, however, you have to be careful. But at the same way, you have to make sure that you're not going to go and you're not going to water the entire field. Why you're not allowed to water the field? Clearly, the reason is because it's not a davar aveh. Because if you don't water the entire field, you're not going to lose anything. So you see that you're not allowed to be mashka in the event that it's there's no davar of it. And even though not being mashke maybe will cause you to lose profits, but that in and of itself is not enough of a reason. So what do you see from here? You see from Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov half the equation. You see that he holds that you can't be mashke beis aval. That's essentially what he said. You know why? Because it's a beis aval. And like the Mishnah said, mashke beis hashlochan. But you're not allowed to be mashke beis aval. Also, Rav Huna said, I know the Tana of the Mishnah is. Tana of the Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Bezoch the Gemara, 1 second. Amen. The Shammah lay the Rabbi Eliezer harvacha deloy. All you see from Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is the first of the two chidushim of the Mishnah. You see from him that if there's a question of harvacha, that's not enough of a reason for you to be able to do malacha. For pseida, that yet, but from harvacha, not. Aber tircha b'makom pseida mishamaleh, you don't see the second thing. You don't see that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov holds the second chidush of the Mishnah, that even when you're allowed to do malacha because it's a davar ha'aved, because there's a real pseida, even then you have to be careful to make sure that there's no pseida. So the Gemara, again, we're trying to figure out who the Tana of the Mishnah holds that holds both of the chedushim of the Mishnah. So Rav Huna found Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov that holds one of the chedushim of the Mishnah. Oh, but the Gemara says that ahal b'maisa, all you have is a makar that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov holds of one of the two chedushim. You don't see that he holds of the other chedush. Now, you don't see that he doesn't hold of the other chedush, but you also don't see that he does hold of the chedush. So at the end of the day, we're trying to find a Tana who explicitly said what the Mishnah said. You found Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov that said half of what the Mishnah said, not the other half of the Mishnah said. Elam Rapapa. So Rapapa said, I have a Tana. I have a Tana who nailed it, who said exactly what our Mishnah said. You know, that is Hamani Rabbi Yehuda. It's the Tana, it's the Hiligar Rabbi Yehuda. Tanya, we learned in a braisa, and where's this braisa? It's the first Tosefta here in Masechtas Maikon. So we're learning Daf Beis Amud Aleph, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph. This is Tosefta Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph. The very first Tosefta, which often mirrors the Mishnayos. So this is the Tosefta that discusses the law of our Mishnah in a more complicated way, as we're about to see, but it also adds some names. So says the Gemara, Papa said, oh, from going through the names mentioned in that Tosefta, I think we could work backwards and we can figure out who the Tana of our Mishnah is. So what's this Tosefta? The Tanya we learned in a Braisa, this Tosefta. Mayin ha-yoytze betchilo. If you have a Mayin, that's yoytze betchilo. We have to be medayik every word. Mayin ha-yoytze betchilo. If you recall, our Mishnah is discussing both a Mayin she-yotze betchilo and a Mayin she-lo-yotze betchilo. The Gemara wanted to know why you need to mention both. But this Tosefta is talking specifically about a Mayin ha-yoytze betchilo. Mashke mimenu, you're allowed to water, afilu stei beis haba. Rameir holds that you're allowed to take a Mayin she-yotze betchilo and you're allowed to water even a beis haba. Now, without going weiter, we know Rameir is not the Tana of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Mashkin beis hashlochin. And like the Gemara was medayik, beis hashlochin in, beis habaloi. Rameir clearly contradicted that. So even though Stam Mishnah is always Rameir, Rameir is off the table. I mean, Rameir, the opening line of this Tosefta tells us everything we need to know about whether or not our Mishnah could be Rameir. Rameir could not have contradicted the Mishnah more if he tried. Mayin ayoytze betchila, mashkin mimenu afilu stei beis habal. It's for sure not Rameir. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda said, ein mashkin ela stei beis hashlochin shacharva. No, the only time you're allowed to be mashka from a mayin ayoytze betchila is if you have a beis hashlochim, okay, that's good, shecharfa, that somehow dried up, that went bad. The Gemara will explain, then we'll revisit Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, loikach v'loikach. No, not this and not that. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah certainly needs a little bit of hasbar. Yes, okay, no, Rabbi Yehuda, the Tosefta continues and says, Rabbi Yehuda added to what he said. He said, Layifna Adam, Amasa Mayim, Vyashkilu Ginasilu Chorvasi. A person should not take a stream of water and water his garden or water his churva, his dried out piece of property, Bechalamai. So the Gemara says like this. Let's try to understand this. My churva. Again, Rameir is pretty straightforward. Rabbi Yehuda said, "Ein mashkin ela stei beis hashloch mishacharv." So, what does charva even mean? Ilei mecharva mamish doesn't mean it's a churva; it's completely dried out. Meaning, ein lo takana lo ilam zakrashi. There's no way to salvage it; it's finished. The lamali the mashkila. Why would Rabbi Yehuda allow you to water it? Any hafsid that happened sadly happened already, and as a result, there's really nothing for you to do. I'm Rabbi. So Abaye said, "You know what it means? Shacharva mimayin zeh." What it means is that the Mayan that had been watering this field dried up, but at the same time, there's an opportunity now to bring another Mayan for you to go ahead and to water it that way. So this is not gone. It's just charva, meaning the source of water, the irrigation system that was in place. This is what dried up. Right now, you don't have it anymore. Okay, so that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. So what did Rabbi Yehuda say? Ein mashkin ela stay beis hashloch and shacharva. Meaning, right now there's hefsid. Right now there's a clear and present danger because really the mayan that's been sustaining it dried up, and as a result, we need to figure out another option. What did Blazman Azari say? Blazman Azari, he said loikach veloikach. What did he mean to say? Loishna charv mayano, veloishna loicharv mayano. It doesn't matter if the mayan dried up or didn't dry it up. Mayan sheyotze betchila lo. You're never allowed to use a mayan sheyotze. Okay, so now that we know what the three shitas are, let's revisit the three shitas and let's see which one of the three shitas can possibly be the time of our mission. Okay, revisiting the Tosefta in light of the Gemara's very short analysis of it. Mayin ayotze betchila, mashkin mimenu, afilu stei beis habal. Divi Rameir. Rameir says if you have a mayin ayotze betchila, you can be mashka stei beis habal. It's not the time of our mission. Time of our mission clearly said that a beis habal, being that it's not a hefsid, even though you're losing profits, we don't care about that. We just want to make sure you don't lose money. You're not going to lose money because the Beis Habal will take care of itself. And as a result, you can't be mashkit. Rameir says you can be mashkit, it can't be Rameir. Skipping. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, loikach v'loikach. You can only use a mayin shelo yotza betchila, but a mayin sheyotza betchila, you can never use. You can never be mashka, it doesn't matter what kind of field it is. You can never be mashka field with a mayin sheyotza betchila. What did our Mishnah say? You can be mashka beis hashlochin, bein mi mayin sheyotza betchila, bein mi mayin shelo yotza betchila. So for sure, the time of our Mishnah is not Rabbi Elazar ben Azari. Who then must it be? Said Rabbi Papa. Oh, it's Rabbi Yehuda. What did Rabbi Yehuda say? Ein mashkin ela stei beis hashlochin shacharva. Rabbi Yehuda said that you're allowed to be mashka, a stay beis hashlochin, and only a stay beis hashlochin shacharva, where there's a hefset or gemaldik. That's mamish our Mishnah. What our Mishnah say? Our Mishnah said mashkin beis hashlochin. It sounds like that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Ein mashkin ela stei beis hashlochin shacharva. Now, it's Rabbi Yehuda. We see that Rabbi Yehuda holds of the first halacha of the Mishnah. What was the first halacha of the Mishnah? That the only time you could do malacha is if there's a hefset. But if it's just trying to make as much profits as you can, that's not enough of a reason. You see that in Rabbi Yehuda. Oh, he allows you to do a beis hashlochin, he doesn't allow you to do a beis habal. Okay, but there was another chiddush in the Mishnah we're trying to find the tana for. The other chiddush was that even when you're allowed to do it, you're only allowed to do something that has a controlled amount of tercha. But if there's a tercha yaseira, then already that's something that you would not be allowed to do. Where do you see that Rabbi Yehuda holds that? So Rashi says you see it from two places. Because number one, Rabbi Yehuda only allowed you to use a base use a mayan. Right? The whole Tosefta is talking about a mayan. It sounds like even Rabbi Yehuda, that's the big makel and that allows you to do this, he only allows you to do a mayan, as opposed to make shamim and make iloin. So you see that if it's a tirchi yaseira, Rabbi Yehuda's not going to allow you to do it. But Rashi says there's another makar in this Tosefta that Rabbi Yehuda holds. Because Rabbi Yehuda added, he said, yes, Ra'al Kain, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, la yifna adam amas ha-mayim v'yashke l'ginosei l'churvasei. You're not going to take an amas ha-mayim and make it go towards your garden, towards your churva. Why can't you do that? It sounds like there's a hefset. The teretz is because there's a tercha yaseir. So says Rashi, that's where you see that Rabbi Yehuda, number one, he holds dafke beis hashlochin, not beis habal. And number two, you see two places in this very short Tosefta that Rabbi Yehuda holds that a tercha yaseir wouldn't be okay. But the bottom line is that Rabbi Papa, who's then the time of our Mishnah? It's not Rameyer. It's not Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. It's not even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, because you don't see the whole Mishnah from Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. It's Rabbi Yehuda. It's from Rabbi Yehuda from this Tosefta. But the Gemara says, one second. How do you know? Dilma Akan, come Rabbi Yehuda beis hashlochin. It's true. You have a diak that Rabbi Yehuda only allowed you to be mashka beis hashlochin. He didn't allow you to be mashka beis habal, which is what our Mishnah said. But the Gemara says maybe the only reason Rabbi Yehuda said beis hashlochin, yeah, beis habal not, is because Rabbi Yehuda was discussing a mayin sheyotza betchila, el a mayin sheyotza betchila. And over there, he says, I don't want you to use a beis habal because there's a risk, like we saw earlier in the Gemara, when it comes to a mayin sheyotza betchila, dilma asil in pule. Maybe the walls are going to cave in. Aval mayin sheyotza betchila, but if you have a mayin sheyotza betchila, deloy asil in pule, where there's no concern that the walls are going to fall in, afilu beis habal nami, maybe he would allow you to use even a beis habal. Our Mishnah said clearly, Mashkin beis hashlochin, doesn't matter if it's a mayin sheyotza betchila, it's a mayin shelo yotza betchila. And the way the Gemara was medayik, the Gemara explained that the first Gemara in Masechtas Maikotin, that in all scenarios, only a beis hashlochin, never a beis habal, right? Couldn't be more clear. Do you see that in Rabbi Yehuda? No, because Rabbi Yehuda is talking about a mayin sheyotza betchila. So maybe when Rabbi Yehuda said,
Beis Hashlochin in Beis HaBaal Loi, it's only by a Mayin Sheyotza B'Tchilo, because a Beis HaBaal, where there's no real hefset, and it's a Mayin Sheyotza B'Tchilo, where there's a risk that maybe the walls are going to cave in, and then you're going to end up doing Tircha, that's where he has a problem. But a Mayin Sheyotza B'Tchilo, maybe he would allow you to use a Beis HaBaal. The Mishnah made it clear, Mayin Sheyotza B'Tchilo, and Mayin Sheyotza B'Tchilo. But Rabbi Yehuda's commenting on a Tosefta that seems to be talking about a Mayin Sheyotza B'Tchilo. So we don't know what a sheet is regarding a Mayin Sheyotza B'Tchilo. So says the Gemara, I don't know, maybe Rabbi Yehuda's not the Tan of the Mishnah. Maybe he would not agree with the extra Chiddush in the Mishnah that a Beis HaBaal by a Mayin Sheyotza B'Tchilo is not a good. So the Gemara says, I hear what you're saying. It's very possible that you're right. But Im Kain, if that's the case, Masnisen Aman Tarmei, who then is the Tan of the Mishnah? The Mishnah is not Rav Meir, it's not Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. You have three Tannaim that opine on this, so you tell me it doesn't stem with all any of the three? So who then is it? It has to be Rabbi Yehuda. And Bal Karchuch, you have to say, El Rabbi Yehuda, Lo Yishna Mayim Sheyotza B'Tchila, Lo Yishna Mayim Sheyotza B'Tchila, B'Tchila, Beis Hashlochin in, Beis HaBaal, you have to say that Rabbi Yehuda holds his halacha, both, whether it's a Mayim Sheyotza B'Tchila, and if it's a Mayim Sheyotza B'Tchila, meaning only Beis HaBaal, Shlochan, not a Beis HaBaal. I have a Hadik Tani, Mayin Sheyotza B'Tchilo. So why, Rabbi Yehuda, only talk about a Mayin Sheyotza B'Tchilo? You should have said even a Mayin Shalai Yotza B'Tchilo. It's like this, you'll know you can't be Mashkin, a Beis HaBaal on Chol HaMoed, even from a Mayin Shalai Yotza B'Tchilo. Could have said it, would have said it, should have said it. You know why I didn't? Because Rameyer is a Mekel. And we wanted to say that Rameyer holds that Afilu Mayin HaYoitza B'Tchilo Mashke Mimeno Afilu Stei Beis HaBaal. We're talking about a Mayin HaYoitza B'Tchilo. The Rameyer holds that even a Mayin Sheyotza B'Tchilo, you're allowed to be Mashke Beis HaBaal. So why are you telling me the big Chiddush in Rameyer? Tell me the big Chiddush in Rabbi Yehuda. Oh, this is Kolei Hashas 101. Everyone knows this. Koich the Teir Adif. So we'd much rather say a big Chiddush in Rameyer than say a big Chiddush than Rabbi Yehuda. So the first Gemara in Masechtas Ma'akatan discussed simply who is the Tana of the Mishnah that says two chidushim. Number one, you're allowed to do malacha if it's a davar avid, but the definition of davar avid is that there's going to be a hefset. Losing out on profits is not considered davar avid. That's the first chidush. And number two, even when you're allowed to do a malacha when it's a davar avid, but you're not allowed to do a tirchi yaseira. Gemara thought maybe Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, but you only see the first chiddush, not the second chiddush. Nothing more brought to Tosefta, Rav Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. And from the three, the only one that really was able to be was Rabbi Yehuda. This Gemara is actually a little bit of an anomaly, because we always speak out that the Mishnah was written the Lashon Ketzara, and you have the Gemara, when it has questions and inquiries about Mishnayos, so how we usually poshut it? Through Braises that said the same halacha, albeit in a wordier and a lengthier way. Over here we have a case where the Mishnah is actually clarifying the Braisa, because from the Braisa itself it wasn't clear what Rabbi Yehuda's Shita would be regarding a Mayin Shalo Yotze B'Tchila when it's a Beis HaBaal. We know that Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is that even a Mayin Shalo Yotze B'Tchila by a Beis HaBaal, you wouldn't be able to be Mashke. You know why? Because there's a Mishnah. And if the Mishnah is not Rabbi Yehuda, who is the Tana of the Mishnah? So really, if you think about it, conceptually what we just did was we used the Mishnah to explain a Braisa, which is the reverse of the way that the Gemara usually works. Either way, Zok the Gemara. Itmar HaMenachish. If somebody weeds a field, the Hamashke Mayim Lazorim, or somebody waters seeds inside the ground, B'Shabbos, he did this on Shabbos, Mishum Mayim Masrinabe. So this is something that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. That's a given now for this next Gemara that we're about to learn. The question is, what's the Isser? What's the Malacha? Which one of the Lamatas Malachas is a person going to violate? If he, number one, weeds a field, number two, he's Mashke the Zraim in a field. Now, Lamayim Nafkemina, in terms of Hasra, there's a tremendous nafkamino. You have to warn a person. You can't punish a person unless you warn him. So all the unchim of Shabbos, you would have to warn the person first. So that's the question. If someone's menachish or mashke, which one of the malachas was he ever? Rabbi, Amar Rabbi says, Mishum chayresh. He's plowed. Rabbi Yosef says, Mishum zayreya for planting. Amar Rabbi, Rabbi says, Kavasi dimas tabit. So stabber like me, that if somebody weeds or somebody waters, he's considered a chayresh. Why? Because my darkish al chayresh. What's unique about chayresh? What are the characteristics of a chayresh? The rafu yayara. You're softening the ground. This person is also softening the ground. I actually think it's more mashma like me. Because when a person plants, he sows, what does he do? You're trying to promote growth. That's what this person is doing. When you weed, the idea is to make everything else grow better. When you water, obviously, the idea is to make it grow better. So Rabbi said, I hear this as chayresh. Softening the ground. That's what a chayresh does. Rav Yosef, no, I hear it as a reya. You're causing to grow. That's what a reya does. Amalei Abayi. So Abayi said, the rabbi, he told Rabbi, the didach kasha, Rav Yosef kasha. Right? Rabbi and Rav Yosef were Abayi's two rabbis. So he said, I have a question on both of my rabbis. He said, Rabbi, I have a kash on you. And Rabbi Yosef, I have a kash on Rabbi Yosef as well. Lididach kash. He told Rabbi, I have a kash on you. What did Rabbi say? You're a chayrish. So he said, Mishum chayrish, Mishum zayrei alai. Why are you only a chayrish? Why are you not also a zayrei? And then he said, the Rabbi Yosef kash. I have the same kash on Rabbi Yosef. Mishum zayrei, Mishum chayrish alai. Why is he not? In other words, Abai said, I don't understand why not both. Why not both? Why is it either one or the other? I think Rab is right. You're chayrish. I also think Rabbi Yosef is right. You're zayrei. So said Abaya, if you're both right, then really, I don't understand either one of your positions. Because why are you saying chayrish and not zayrei? And why are you saying zayrei and not chayrish? And then Abaya said, and if you're going to tell me, because it can't be two. You have to pick one. It's not true. Amar Rav Kahana said, zoymer v'tzarech leitz. If somebody prunes a tree and he needs the wood, meaning you're doing two things. You're trying to stimulate the growth of the tree by pruning it. And you also want the wood. Chayiv shtayim. Achas mishum neiteya. You chayiv for planting. V'achas mishum kaitzer. You also chayiv mishum kaitzer. So you see, it's possible to be chayiv for one maisa too. So Abaya said, why are we picking and choosing? Why do we suddenly have to make this very difficult decision to decide if this is chayrish or zareya? I don't know. To me, it sounds like chayrish. It sounds like zareya. And you see, it can be chayiv shtayim. So why shouldn't it be chayiv shtayim? And the Gemara says, kash. I hear. It's a good kash. Eis for Rabbi Yosef the Rabbi. Rabbi Yosef asked Rabbi kash. Again, Rabbi Yosef said that a menachesh v'hamashke mayim lezron is a zareya. Rabbi said you're a chayrish. So Rabbi Yosef asked Rabbi Geshmak Akasha, HaMenachish VaMechapa B'Kalayim. If someone weeds a field of Kalayim, or if somebody covers seeds with offer, that's Kalayim. Loike, you get Malkus. So if someone violates the halacha, if somebody plants Kalayim, he gets Malkus. It says in the Torah, Sodcholoi Sizra Kalayim. Says the Braisa, it's not just if somebody plants, but if somebody weeds or somebody simply covers seeds, that's enough for a person to violate Sod Chalei Sizer Kalayim, and you're going to get Malkus. Rabbi Kiva added a much bigger chiddush. He said, Afa Mekayim, even if someone is just Mekayim, you walk into a field, you see Kalayim, and you leave it there, Lap Shein by Maisa, it doesn't matter. Even that, you're already going to violate the halach of Kalayim. So the Gemara says like this. This is Rabbi Yosef's Kash. Bishlam, according to me, I hold that if someone is Menachish, somebody weeds, focusing on Menachish, you're considered a Zoireya, Haino Dasti Rez Riba Kalayim. So I understand why you're Chai Mishum Kalayim. It says in the Torah, Sod Choloi Sizra Kalayim, and when you're Menachish, you're a Zoireya. Oh, you're a Zoireya, so therefore there's an Is Kalayim. El Dach Damre Mishum Chayresh. But according to you, Rabbi, that if someone's Menachish, he's not a Zoireya, all he is a Chayresh. So why chay by kalayim? Charish by kalayim, yeah, Sira. Where do you find anywhere that there's a nisa to be charish kalayim? Shabbos, you're right. Mamon of Shach, whether you're Zerei or charish, it's going to be a nisa. But by kalayim, it says in the Torah, Sod Choloi Sizra kalayim. Doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that you're not allowed to be charish kalayim. And you see, I'm a nachish, it's chay mishum kalayim. So Rabbi Yosef said, checkmate. This is a chloraya that it's Zerei, it's not charish. Amalei. So the Gemara says, no. Rabbi told Rabbi Yosef, Mishum Mikayim. Really, the reason you're chayif when you're menachish is not because Menachish is Zayreya. Menachish is Chayresh. And for being Chayresh, you're not really Chayim. But when you're Chayresh, you're also being Mekayim. And that's the point. The point is, when you're Menachish, you're being Mekayim. And you're Chayim for being Mekayim. For just allowing it to be there, you're Chayim. So the Gemara says, it can't be. That's Pshat. Why? Because when Midik Tani Sefer, the Brice had a Sefer. Rabbi Kiva, Oymer Afa Mekayim. What was the Brice? HaMenachish VaMechapa B'Kalayim is Chayim. Rabbi Akiva added, he said, even a Mekayim. So it sounds like the Tanakam is not Rabbi Akiva. So being that the Sefer's Rabbi Akiva, Michal the Tanakam, Allah Mishu Mekayim. So clearly that Tanakam is not Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says, no. Kula Rabbi Akiva, he really, the entire Bryce is Rabbi Akiva. Umatam Kamer. This is the way you read it. You read it as Rabbi Akiva talking and Rabbi Akiva explaining. Meaning, HaMenachish VaMechapa B'Kalayim Loika. Why? Matam HaMenachish VaMechapa B'Kalayim Loika Mishu Mekayim. It's because of Mekayim. Sure, Rabbi Akiva Omer. Why you chai for me Mekayim? Because that's Rabbi Akiva Shita. Afa Mekayim. My time to Rabbi Akiva. What's Pshat Rabbi Akiva? What do you see in the Torah that you're not allowed to be Mekayim Kalayim? The Tanya, it says, Sod Choloi Sizra Kalayim. Ain li yel zayreya. Minayin. Mekayim, minayim. How do you know if to be Mekayim is also a problem? Talmud Loimar Kalayim Sod Choloi. So if you look in the Pasuk mentions three types of Kalayim. As Chukoisai Teshmoiru Behemtecholei Sabir Kalayim, that's Kalayim with two animals. Sotcholei Sizer Kalayim, that's Kalayim in the field. Ubegat Kalayim Shatnes Loyalo Alecho, that's Shatnes. So Darshan Rabbi Akiva,
It says sadchalai sizra kalayim, but before the word sadcha, it says kalayim. See, darshan did kalayim sadchalai. That's the way darshan did, that you're not allowed to have kalayim, and even if you didn't plant it, you just were makayim it, you just allowed it to stay there, even that is going to be an issue. So again, we just mentioned the machlokes between Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef. If someone weeds a field or someone waters a field, are you chayiv mishum zayreya or you chayiv mishum chayresh? Abaye said, I don't know why you're just not chayiv for both. We had a little bit of an exchange between Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi. From the fact that you see that you're not allowed to be menachesh kalayim, Rabbi Yosef said that's a raya, must be zayreya, because no is it to be chayresh kalayim. A little bit of an exchange. What does this have to do with the first Mishnah in the Masechta? What does this have to do with the rest of the daf? So, Metz Hashem, this is what we'll pick up tomorrow, and we'll see tomorrow already what the connection is. But just one ha'ara as really an introduction to Masechtas Ma'akatan, and that is, there's a drasha that's printed in Shailos HaTshuvos Eretz Tzvi from the Kozhug Lava Goyen, Rabbi Aryeh Tzvi Fromer, Hashem Yimkom Damlo. And the Kozhug Lava Goyen wondered that why is it that we refer to Masechtas Mayit Katan as Masechtas Mayit Katan? Why is it Mayit Katan? And true, to be fair, Mayit Katan deals with the laws of Chol HaMoed. And Chol HaMoed, relative to the other Yomim Tovim, is Katan. Because it doesn't have all the chumras and all the halachos that a regular yontif has. But at the end of the day, there's nothing katan and there's nothing small really about Chol HaMoed. So the Kozhug Lava Goyen in Adrasha asked, why is it that the Masechta in Shas that deals with the laws of Chol HaMoed is referred to as Masechtas Mayit Katan? So the Kozhug Lava Goyen said a teretz nifla, but it requires a little bit of an introduction. The Kozhug Lava Goyen's Rebbe, the Avnei Nezer, in his Shailos HaTshuvos Avnei Nezer, and this is an Ereh Chaim Siman Beis. It's a very, very long tshuva, and he discusses there a topic that we'll get to in the next few days, and that is wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Are you allowed to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed? Do you have to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed? One of the great Shailos of all time, Chaber, Ramah, Vilna Gaon, the Zayir, and that's the shmooze of this Avnei Nezer, and that's what he's discussing. He's discussing the din of tefillin on Chol HaMoed, and at the very, very end of that piece, he says something incredible. He says that we know Chol HaMoed has less Kedusha than Yontif, and that Shabbos does. But really, if you understand Chol HaMoed on a deeper level, you'll realize, said Avnei Nezer, that the Kedusha of Chol HaMoed isn't just less than the Kedusha of Yontif, but rather the Kedusha of Chol HaMoed is fundamentally different than the Kedusha of Yontif. Says the Avnei Nezer, he says, why is it that Chol HaMoed has Kedusha? He says, Yontif is a day that has Kedusha Be'etzim. It's a Makar of Kedusha. Shabbos is a Makar of Kedusha. Hashem was Mekadish the seventh day, and Shabbos is a source of Kedusha. Yontif is a source of Kedusha. Abba said to Avnei Nezer that Chol HaMoed does not have its own source of Kedusha. It's not a Makar of Kedusha. The reason Chol HaMoed has Kedusha is because it's nestled in between 2 days of Kedusha. You have the first day Pesach, then you have 5 days, and then you have the seventh day of Pesach. The first day of Pesach is a Yom Kodesh. The seventh day, Shvi'i Shel Pesach, is also a Yom Kodesh. So the 5 days that are in between are also considered Kodesh, and the reason they're considered Kodesh is because they're lodged in between, they're nestled in between days of Kedusha, and that is what gives it a thin Kedusha. So it's not a Makar of Kedusha, it doesn't have any Kedusha unto itself, but the reason it has Kedusha is simply because it's lodged and it's nestled in between 2 days of Kedusha. So Yontif, Shabbos, has its own Makar of Kedusha, as opposed to Chol HaMoed really doesn't have Kedusha. But the Kedusha that Chol HaMoed has, it takes from the day before, it takes from the day after. Says the Avnei Nezer that the emes is, this Yisoid is a Friyadigi Yisoid. You know who said this Yisoid? The Shlach Kodesh said this Yisoid. The Shlach Kodesh is in the beginning of a Sechta Sukkah. He's discussing over there, not Chol HaMoed. The Shlach over there is discussing the 4 days that come in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. So you have Yom Kippur, and then you have 4 days, and then you have Sukkot. And the Shlach over there is discussing those 4 days that come in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. And the Shlach says, that Halachah and Shulchan Aruch is, you don't say Tachnun. We always speak out the Vilna Gaon, that the Vilna Gaon says that they're like Yom Kippur, B'miktzas. That's why, U'lakachtam lechem b'yom Rishon, the first day of Sukkot is called Rishon Lechesh ben Avonis, because really those 4 days are a shtickle Yom Kippur, and you're getting a kapara. That's what the Vilna Gaon says in the Beer Agra. But says the Shlach, says that those 4 days are special. Why are they special? What's so chashiv about those 4 days? So the Shlach says, you know what's special about them? They come
immediately after Yom Kippur, and they come immediately before Sukkot. And because they're bein shtei ha-kedushos, kedushas Yom HaKippurim u'kedushas Chag HaSukkot, it's for that reason they have kedusha. And said the Shlach HaKadosh, quote, therefore, v'hem k'moy chol ha-moyed. They're like chol ha-moyed. And it's for that reason you have to treat those days differently. Because says the Shlo, what is the essence of chol ha-moyed? The essence of chol ha-moyed is not that it's a makor of kedusha. The essence of chol ha-moyed is that it receives kedusha from the day before and it receives kedusha from the day after. That's the yisoy, that's the mahus of what the kedusha of chol ha-moyed is. And therefore, these 4 days that come in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, it's for that reason these days are considered days of kedusha as well. Says Davni Nezer, the emes is, this Yisoy predates the Shlach. It goes back to the Maral Miprag, in his Sefer Gvuras Hashem, he also said this Yisoy. The Maral was discussing, why is it that the first Pesach that the Yidden ever celebrated, and this was Pesach Mitzrayim, was only one day. It's a Mishnah, and end of Masech, the Pesachim, the differences between Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Doiris. And one of the differences were, Pesach Doiris is 7 days, but Pesach Mitzrayim was only one day. And the Maral asked, why is it that Pesach Mitzrayim was only one day? Said Avni Nezer quotes the Maral in Gvuras Hashem, in Perek Lamed Zayin, who says that the reason is because why is Pesach 7 days? Pesach 7 days, the first day of Pesach, we left Mitzrayim. Okay, so it should be one day. No, the Teretz is because on the seventh day from when the Yidden left Mitzrayim, on Shvi Shal Pesach, there was Kriyas Yamsuf. And because there was Kriyas Yamsuf, therefore we have a 7 day. So says the Maral, that when the Yidden were Mitzrayim, they didn't have Kriyas Yamsuf yet. And being that they hadn't had Kriyas Yamsuf yet, so at that point it wasn't a Geya yet of Shvi Shal Pesach. It wasn't a Geya of Shvi Shal Pesach simply because they didn't have Kriyas Yamsuf yet at that point. So therefore there was no Shvi Shal Pesach. But says the Maral, that explains why there was no Shvi Shal Pesach. But what about days 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6? How come you didn't have those days? Says the Maral, this vart. He says, because why do those days have Kedusha? The only reason they have Kedusha is because they come in between 2 days of Kedusha. Because they're in between day 1 and day 7. But being that there was no Shvi'i Shal Pesach when the Yidden were Mitzrayim, because it was far Kriyas Yamsuf, so there was no Shvi'i Shal Pesach. If there's no Shvi'i Shal Pesach, there's no Chol HaMoed. Because the whole Chol HaMoed is the fact that it's lodged in between the first day of Pesach and the last day of Pesach. So if there's no Shvi'i Shal Pesach, says the Maral, there's no Chol HaMoed. That's why Pesach Mitzrayim was only one day, right? We always wondered, why is it Pesach Mitzrayim? Why? How come there wasn't 7 days of Pesach? Every Pesach Ludoiris would be 7 days. Oh yeah, every Pesach Ludoiris had a Shvi'i Shal Pesach. Okay, so that explains the seventh day. But what about days 2 through 6? They have nothing to do with Kriyas Yamsuf. It's true they have nothing to do with Kriyas Yamsuf. But the site is because they're Bain-based Kedushas. So if you don't have Shvi'i Shal Pesach, then how are you going to have Chol HaMoed? Zok Davni Nezer. So this site is in the Shlach. And the Yisoid is in the Maral. Says the emes is, this Yisoid predates the Maral as well. In fact, it traces itself all the way back to the Zohar HaKadosh. And this Zohar is quoted by the Beis Yosef in Erech Chaim Siman Lamed Aleph when he talks about wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed, which again, we'll get to. And the Beis Yosef literally quotes L'shoinei Azov Shal HaZohar, which is above my pay grade. But basically, the one punchline that we need is as follows. Says the Zohar. He says, Chaylo Shal Moed is loy ikri yontif. It's not called yontif. Ela tefillin de draya, it's referred to as the tefillin shal yad. Again, we're talking about Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed is referred to as the tefillin shal yad. The halesle l'siyara migar meklum. And he said, the reason is because the Chol HaMoed is like the moon. The moon doesn't have any light. What it does is it reflects the light of the sun, and it's in that vein, it's in that way that Chol HaMoed is the same way, it's like the moon. Says Davni Nezer, what's Pashup Shah? What's the Zohar trying to say? Again, this is above our pay grade. But Pashup Shah, what is the Zohar trying to say? What the Zohar is saying is that Chol HaMoed doesn't have its own Kedusha. Just like the moon doesn't have its own source of Kedusha, this doesn't have its own source of Kedusha either. Where does it get Kedusha from? It's Bein Bezach Kedusha. It gets Kedusha from the day before, and it gets Kedusha from the day after. That's the essence of its Kedusha. And because that's the essence of its Kedusha, so it's for that reason that you don't have it. That's why it doesn't have its own Kedusha, and that's what the Zohar called means when he refers to it to the moon, it's referred to as the Sierra simply based on the fact that, so says the Avni Nezer. So we have over here Yisoid Gadol. The Yisoid Gadol is that the Kedusha of Chol HaMoed isn't just less than the Kedusha of Shabbos and Yontif, but rather it's fundamentally different than the Kedusha of Shabbos and Yontif. The Kedusha of Shabbos and Yontif is a Mekor of Kedusha. It's a Kedusha Be'etzem, as opposed to the Kedusha of
Cholamoid, it's not a Kedusha Be'etzem, but rather it attains its Kedusha from other sources. It attains its Kedusha from the day before, it attains its Kedusha from the day after. Parenthetically, I once heard from the Rosh Yeshiva, Rav David Shustel, who said that he was talking about, it was actually a shmooze that he gave around, you know, he was talking about the tremendous chizik of Torah that you find in yeshivas with Bachrim and Yungalite and what's going on in the world, which is incredible. It's unprecedented with Nisyonis, and it's not always so easy. And especially the last few years, there were a lot of Nisyonis. And Afal Pikein, Klai Yisrael steigt in an incredible, incredible way. And Reb David was talking, and it was during the Shalosh Shudas Drash, and he was getting all emotional and all nisragish, and he was mamish crying. And he said, "What's the pshat? Vinvanen nemtzich das?" He says, "We hear so much about Yeridas Adam. And you read the Sadairis," and he said, "Look around the door, look at how many people are steiging, look out, and look how much Amelus Batayra there is." He says, "How's it even possible?" So he said that he heard once, I think he said it from the Matis of Erov, and maybe the word even traced itself back to the Helig Chasam Sofer. He said like this, he said that we know that Yidin were Yoinik from the past, right? We're Yoinik from the Avar. And that's the whole Yisrael if you read the Sadairis. The Yisrael if you read the Sadairis is that the further we're removed from Har Sinai, so the weaker, the Shvacher the generations get. Why? Because we're further removed from the other. But he said over, and I think the Messiah said Chasam Sofer, that just like it's Shayach to be Yoinik from the other, it's Shayach to be Yoinik from the Asid as well. It's possible to be Yoinik from the Asid. So he said that this door is literally at the doorstep of Mashiach. And he said, the oil of Mashiach is shining on this generation. And he says, that's where these koiches are coming from. These aren't koiches from the Avar. These are koiches from the Asid. He said, we're living in a generation that's tapping into Oirish al Mashiach. It's tapping into the Asid. He said, that's where this is coming from. He says, usually you think of taking from the past, but it's possible to literally defy physics and tap into the future. And that's what's going on in this generation. He said, this veheshev leiv aveis albanim, abis da'ichet v'leiv banim alavoisam. To leiv aveis albanim, that's taking from the avar. Abis the leiv banim alavoisam, that's tapping into the asid. And the emes says, I think it's mamish this zayir HaKadosh. It's the chalamoid. Chalamoid takes from the avar, but it also takes from the asid. And this is where you see this yourself. That Cholamoid has Kedusha Machmas to Asid. I mean, the Asid didn't come yet. The Teretz is time is relative. And right now, you're able to tap into the Asid. The Kedusha of Cholamoid Nemtzich Nishnof in the Avar. It's Bein Shtei Kedushais. It's a Nemtzich from the Asid Oichid. And that's this Koyach of being able to tap into the Asid. Mamish Dvarim Niflar. But either way, so said the Kazhuk Lavagoyin in his Drasha. He said that Masechtis Mayi Katan is called Masechtis Mayi Katan. He said, why is it called Mayi Katan? Why katan? He said, because it's before in the Avnei Nezer and Simin Beis, and the Avnei Nezer based it on the Shlach Kaddish regarding the 4 days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, and based on the Maral that explained why Pesach Chatzarim was only 1 day, and really traces itself back to the Zayar, where the Zayar says that really Chol HaMoed is like the moon. What do you mean it's like the moon? The moon is a great luminary, but at the same time, it doesn't have its own source of light, but rather everything that it has, it's Yoinik. Where's it Yoinik from? It's Yoinik from the sun. It's Yoinik from the sun. So he said, Lefiza, it's half of a fellow. The Pasuk says, Vayasa l'kim eshnei ha-ma'oiris ha-gdoilim. Es ha-ma'or ha-godo l'memshelas ha-yoim, ve'is ha-ma'or ha-koton l'memshelas ha-layla, ve'is ha-koychavim. The Pasuk refers to the sun as the ma'or ha-godo. It refers to the moon as the ma'or ha-koton. Why was the moon referred to as a ma'or ha-koton? So of course, relative to the sun, it was a ma'or ha-koton. But there's nothing small about the moon. So why was the moon referred to as the ma'or ha-koton? You know, it's an interesting anecdote that's told over, and it's brought down in the Likuta from the Svarim of the Vilna Gaon, that the Vilna Gaon famously went into exile. He went into Galus. And when the Vilna Gaon was in Galus, he used to stay by different people. So he once stayed in somebody's house, and this Balabas realized that the Vilna Gaon looks like he knows how to learn, and, you know, maybe he's a Shtikl Talmud Chacham. So he was very excited. So he comes over to him, and he tells him, he says, you know, I yarshin the Chumash from my father. And it's very, very strange. On the side of the Pasuk, Es hamor ha-godol ha-mashal sayoyim, ves hamor ha-kotol ha-mashal balaylo, my father had written in his own ksav yad the following. Gimel vav ayin shin aleph nun kuf. That's what he wrote on the side of the Chumash. He says, I don't know why he wrote it, and I've asked different Talmidei Chachamim that have passed through town, and no one knows why he wrote it. So the Vilna Gaon told him, al atar. He says, your father was a Talmud Chacham. And your father was bothered. He was bothered with a kasha. Then how could the Pasuk refer to the moon as a Moira Katan? It's a Moira Katan? Yeah, relative to the sun. But again, it's not a Moira Katan. He was answering with a Gemara in Bava Metzia. The Gemara says, Godol v'soymech al shulchan aviv
Nikra Katan, and that's the Rosh HaTevis. Gimel, Gadol, Vav, Vesoymech, Ayin, Aleph, Shin, Shulchan, Aleph, Aviv, Nun Kuf, Nikra Katan. That's what he was writing. Said the Kasha Glavagayin, the reason the moon is the Mayra Katan is because the moon is a Gadol, Abed, a Gadol, Vesoymech, Al Shulchan Aviv. And Gadol, Asoymech, Al Shulchan Aviv, Nikra Katan. There's nothing small about Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed is very, very Kaddish. The Mishnah Berurah says, quoting the Rishonim, that Hamavazes Hamayados, which is so chomer, Ein Lechelek Loilam Haba, is referring even to Chol HaMoed. The Kedusha of Chol HaMoed is Neira. The Kedusha of Chol HaMoed is Gevaldik. But at the same time, Chol HaMoed gets its Kedusha from the Yontif before and from the Yontif after. It gets its Kedusha from other sources. It's a Gadol V'Soymech Al Shulchan Aviv. A Gadol V'Soymech Al Shulchan Aviv is Nikur Katan. So said the Kasha Glavagayin, it's for that reason that the Masechta that talks about Chol HaMoed is called Moed Katan.